الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. In this very beautiful form of our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum, Jawar Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mein rehte hai hum. We are living in the neighborhood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, those people who are living there and those who have the opportunity to go for Hajj Umrah, they visit Medina Sharif, the occasion, the stay of Medina Sharif. And this form, Hazrat says, Medina Munawwara ke ek alim, Hazrat Maulana Aashiq Ilahi Baland Shahri, Muhajir Madani Damat Barakatum ke farmaish par ye ashar kahe gaye. A great alim, Maulana Aashiq Ilahi Saab Mirati, who has written plenty of kitabs, Baland Shahri, and he's a great alim. He has passed away recently. His sons are still there, and they are also doing great work. They all got ta'alluq with Hazrat. Jinhone ye Madina Munawwara ye masra likh kar bheja tha. He sent this one line to Hazrat, and he said, prepare all ashar around this line. The line that he has sent, which is the title of this poem, Jawari Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mein rehte hai hum, that we are living in the neighborhood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zameen par Madina ki rehte hai hum, we are living on the earth of Madina Sharif. Falak par magar naaz karte hai hum, but we are what naz, boasting to the skies. Just to be present there, no matter what a person, as long as he has got iman and is present in Medina, he can boast to the skies. But why we don't boast? We can boast, but why we don't? We don't know whether that ziyarat, that stay of ours, is accepted by Allah Ta'ala or not. When we know it is accepted, then we can boast as much as we want to, having the honor to be living in Medina Sharif. Na poocho ke kya hai hamara sharaf. Don't even ask what is our honor. You cannot imagine what is the honor of the person. Jawari Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mein rehte hai hum. That we are staying in the neighborhood. We are the neighbors of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the sand which is touching the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is more valuable than the Kaaba Sharif, than the Arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Just that sand, then a Muslim who has got Iman, who is there, who is living in Medina Sharif, anywhere in Medina, what is his value by Allah Ta'ala? And unfortunately, we don't realize this value. Just to be present in Medina Sharif. Even if a person is living far from Masjid al-Nabawi and is making namaz in his own masjid somewhere there, still he has got great value. Then what to say about those people who are near, who honor the masjid, and who go and make the five times namaz in Masjid al-Nabawi. We have the opportunity of reading Salatu Salam daily, and in fact a few times. What to say, what is their great honor by Allah Ta'ala. Karam hai ye malik ka e dosto. This is only the karam, the kindness of Allah. Otherwise, who is fit to be there? Nobody is fit but Allah's fazal. That sinners like us, and Allah Ta'ala takes a person and is present in Medina Sharif. Medine ki basti mein baste hai hum. That we are staying in the city of Medina. Just to be present, living there, what a great honor. Medine ki nisbat hai qeemat meri. And my value is because of Medina Sharif. Wagar na haqeeqat mein saste hai hum. Otherwise, the truth is, we are valueless. We got no value. But because of just Medina Sharif and I'm present in Medina, that gives me my value. Medina mein marna muqaddar mein ho. Oh Allah, grant me that my death be in Medina Sharif. Khuda se dua ye bhi karte hai hum. This dua we make to Allah Ta'ala. And this is a desire and a dua of all the great ulama and awliya. So fortunate is that person who has this desire sincerely in his heart that my maut should also come in Medina Sharif. And a person who doesn't get time to go to Medina Sharif, he can go throughout the world, everywhere else he can be, but he hasn't got time, he hasn't got the desire even to go to Medina Sharif. And even worse, he justifies himself not to go to Medina Sharif. How sad the case of that person is. If a person has got love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically he will want to go there. Ye nalaiqo par hai Rab ka karam. This is the kindness of Allah Ta'ala on worthless people. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki nagri mein rehte hai hum. That we are living in the alley of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are living in the street of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person, if his neighbor is an alim, a great alim is living on his street, how he feels to be living where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, even if it is just for a few days that a person goes. And what to say about those people who live there permanently. Shafa'at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki bhi ho naseeb. Oh Allah, grant us the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first people who will get the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the people who are buried in Baqi. And then in Jannatul Ma'ala, the Qabristan of Makkah Sharif. First it will be Jannatul Baqi. Those people will be the first one to get the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dua raddin ye bhi karte hai hum. We are making this dua also all the time, O Allah. Madine mein har saal ho hazri. O Allah, grant me that every year I can go to Madina Sharif. Khuda se ye faryad karte hai hum. We beg of this from Allah Ta'ala. Bas ae saakinane Madina mujhe, O people who are the citizens, the dwellers of Madina Sharif, na bhoolo guzarish karte hai hum. Don't forget us in your duas. Remember us in your duas and convey our salams to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever you go to the Rauza. Ye akhtar mere qalb o jaan hai waha. Hazrat says, my heart and my soul is there in Madina Sharif. Madine se go door rehte hai hum. Though we are living far from Medina, but my heart and soul is there. And really, that should be the condition of a mu'min. No matter where he is, what he's doing, but his heart and soul must be in his markaz, the center. Our marakis, the actual markaz of ours, are Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. And a person who is connected to the markaz, that person gets everything. And a person who is disconnected from the head office, he loses out. These are our head offices. May Allah bless us with the true value and the love of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. And this is part of Iman. If a person is not having this, it is his duty that he must cultivate the love of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. Because this is all part of Iman. And his Iman will never be able to be complete and perfect without the love of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. And this love should not just be words, but we should try, we always make dua for the protection of Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. And when we can, when visit Medina Sharif also, make Umrah, make Hajj, or whenever it is possible, these things should be part of our life. In this kitab, the great wisdoms of Sunnat, further he writes, Panch waqt namaz ada karna har musalman par farz hai. We are still reading about the great virtues and benefits of paaki, purity, and how a Muslim should stay away from especially the impurities of urine and stool. So he says that five times namaz is faraz on every Muslim. Lekin jab tak jism aur libas paak aur saaf na ho, namaz nahi ho sakti. We know this is the masala. If our body is not paak, our clothes are not paak, we cannot make namaz. So to keep our body and clothes paak is faraz. Balfaz e digar jism o libas ka paak o saaf rakhna har Muslim ka faraz hai. In other words, when we understand that to keep ourselves paak from we have to make namaz, and for namaz we have to be pure and clean from stool, from urine. So in this means then in turn that to stay paak and to purify ourselves and not to have any stool, urine on our bodies, on our clothes, this is also for us upon every Muslim. Jaisa ki batlaya ja chuka hai, as this has been explained before. With regard to these wisdoms and the benefits, they are all on the place. Hazrat Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi writes that the true position of a ummati, of a slave of Allah, that without understanding any benefit, he must do this with his heart and soul. Just because it is Allah's command and it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person practices on this because of the benefits that are in there, then his the quality of a ummati and the quality of a slave of Allah will go out of him. Now he'll be the slave of his understanding. Because I understand it's good and it's beneficial. That's why I am doing it. And there are many things which we don't understand also. But a true ummati and a true abd, a true slave of Allah, just because it's Allah's command, Allah is my Allah, and I accept every command of His. My Nabi is my Nabi, and I accept every tariqah of His. Whether I understand, I don't understand, I do it. That is a true ummati. That quality we must never lose sight of. Dunya ki battareen ghalazat jise insaan ka har roz kai martaba waasta parta hai uska apna baul aur baraz hai. The worst napaki dirt, filth of this world, and which every human being is in contact with a few times every day, is his own urine and his own stool. And this also, when going to the toilet, never ever said, just make this muraqabah for the toilet, that I may think I'm so pious, I'm thinking I'm such a great man, I'm such a big man, rich man, whatever it is, I'm such a great alim, but this is what is coming out of my body. So what am I? And these things what I ate were so pure and clean, and what did I make out of it? So this body of mine is a machine of making stool and urine, which is so dirty and so filthy. So what am I worth? So that pride will easily come out of a person. And a person should be also engaged in some work all the time. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that one buzurg was going with his murids and saw one person sitting by the side of the road, just idle, doing nothing. He went past, he did not even make him salam. When he returned, the person with a stick was scratching in the ground. Then the buzurg made salam. So the murids asked, Hazrat, when you went, you didn't make salam. When you came back, you made salam. He says, when I went, he was sitting completely idle. And shaitan is the friend and controls an idle person. Is a devil's workshop? Idle mind is a devil's workshop. So therefore I didn't make him salam. Now he's doing something useless, but he's doing something. So therefore now I made salam to him. So to sit completely idle, though in the toilet a person is occupied, but we can't make zikr, make this muraqabah. What is my value? This is what comes out of my body. What do I think and what am I boasting? I'm very clean and very pure. This was all in my body all the time. Aur yahi gandagi aisi hai jo iske liye sab gandagiyon se zyada uski sehat wa sabat par asar andaz hoti hai. And this filth and dirt of urine and stool, it is that filth and dirt which has got the greatest effect on his health and on his well-being. Aur isse jitni parhez rakhi jaye aur usse apni qiyam gaho aur kaam kaaj ke maqamat se dur rakha jaye, utna hi zyada mufeed hota hai. How much a person keeps himself pure and clean of this dirt, and how much further he keeps himself away from this, so much more better it is for him. Previously, toilets used to be far away. First it was out in the field, then it was out in the yard, then it came in the yard, then in the house, now it's right in the bedroom also. So how much we can keep away, the smell of it comes, even no matter how clean you keep your toilet, and that smell has got an effect on a person, on his health, on his mental state, his way of thinking, it has got an effect on a person. Uska qurb insaan ke liye halakat aur uski duri rahat aur sehat hai. Having it close to a person is the means of destruction for a person. And keeping it far is for his comfort and his health. The more further a person stays away from the toilet. And today, sadly, how many people do the magazines in their toilets? And while they are sitting in the toilet, they are busy reading some magazine also. This is not at all proper. It's a place of necessity, and a person should just relieve himself and come out. He shouldn't spend a single second more longer than what it is necessary. لیکن اس کی ضرر رسانی اور نقصانات جاننے کے باوجود اس کی نسبت بری غفلت اور لاپرواہی بڑھتی جاتی ہے. In spite of the fact that people know how harmful it is, in spite of that, people, they are very, very unmindful of its harms. Their mind, they know about it, but just they don't care attitude, and we take it as a very small matter. اسلام کے علاوہ اور کسی تمدن یا شریعت میں اس سے کما حق و پرہیز اور نفرت رکھنے کی تلقین نہیں کی گئی. Besides Islam, in no other religion, in no other culture has so much stress been laid that a person must keep himself pure and clean of this filth and dirt. اور ہم بلا خوف و تردید یہ کہنے کے لیے تیار ہے کہ دنیا کے تمام مذاہب میں اسلام کو ہی یہ امتیاز حاصل ہے کہ اس نے اس گندگی سے عملی طور پر پرہیز, بلکہ یہ کہنا چاہیے کہ اسے انتہائی نفرت رکھنے کی پر زور تلقین کی ہے. And we can say this without any fear of contradiction, that of this dirt and filth, that in of all the religions in the world, Islam is the only religion that has got this distinguishing factor, that it has taught practically on the ground that how the followers of Islam, Muslims, must keep themselves pure of this dirt and filth. بلکہ یہ کہنا چاہیے, in fact a person should say this, کہ اس سے انتہائی نفرت رکھنے کی, that Islam has taught that you must have the greatest of dislike, greatest of nafrat, of hatred, of dislike for this filth and dirt. اور اس کے بد اثرات سے بچنے اور محفوظ رہنے کے لیے تفصیلی اور نہایت مفید ہدایت دی ہے. And to save oneself from the terrible harms of this, Islam is given in great detail and very beneficial guidelines that how a person must make his istinja, etc. All that in great detail Islam is taught. But very sadly today we think of that is keeping us backwards. And these things, there is no doubt, scientifically it has been proved that the sight of stool and urine, the smell of it, any contact with it, has got an effect on a person. But it's absolute necessity, nobody can escape from it. So we have to keep it to the bare minimum. How much a person gets more involved in it? For example, those who stand and urinate, no istinja, and how many urine drops fall in their trouser, just outwardly keeping them clean and having them dry cleaned and shining, will never ever give you that paki and that purity. A person who doesn't use water, a person who uses toilet paper, where can therefore all these things have an effect on the minds of those people? For them to accept Islam, as we have mentioned many times, there one alim in India, when he gives da'wah to non-Muslims, the first thing he does is teach them to bath and to make istinja. Till the mind is not clear of these things, a person cannot think clear. And many of us, the terrible evil thoughts we get, wasawis, and other evil desires that we have of committing guna, all these things play a very big part in it. And today, with our children, in which line they are going, and we can see in our houses, we just use the high toilet. And to make proper istinja on there, it's quite difficult to stay park on there. It's quite difficult, very difficult to stay properly park on there. So therefore, our children's minds today, they good food, they don't want to talk, or they don't want to hear about it also. And junk food, it's very good for them. Thinking is gone topsy-turvy, is gone upside down. And not only in food, in dressing today. Today, bad taste, bad clothes are so tasteful. And good clothes are so, they can't imagine wearing proper clothes, decent clothes, hairstyles. For a woman to go and have the hair done. Hey, a woman goes to a beauty parlor and she has all her beauty done. And when they put this, what do they call that on the eyelids, what they put? That all that colorful things, all that. It looks like fungus. Like when food, etc., that has gone bad, has gone off that fungus. As if they haven't got money to buy soap and water and wash themselves. that the dirt accumulated and it became like fungus there. But that looks beautiful today. All the filthy and bad taste today, the hair, they just blow it in all different directions. And that now is very, how much don't they pay for it? To maintain it, a bride the whole night won't sleep to maintain that. And to comb the hair properly, that is now looked at as very stupid and out of the normal thing. So all this filth and napaki has got an effect on us. And after that, the food that we eat, the company, Maulana Dr. Abdul Hay, Arifi Rahmatullah Ali says, one lady, a Muslim lady, when she was in India, there was a dispute about her property which she was supposed to get. So there was a court case. She refused to go to the court, being in parda, that was allowed. But she said that my voice, a strange man must hear my voice, I can rather forego my property, but I can't let a strange man hear my voice. How much she cared about the parda of her voice, which was permissible according to Shariat, and especially at such a time, by all means she could go and give her evidence and save her property. It was properly her property. She just had to give the evidence, but she refused and she lost her property. She accepted that. But the environment of Karachi when she came, that same woman was seen walking on the streets of Karachi without parda also. So this is what environment is. So when our napaki is like that with our body, and then our food, and then the environment, what effect it has got. So how much more effect, like many ustads in the madrasa say, the child comes to us to madrasa for 2 hours. So how can we make an effect on the child? So yeah, also if we come for majlis once a week, and all the time we are in all this environment, we are in all these other things, how can we really expect the change? Well, we don't have a majlis, we don't make our zikr daily, and we don't make our tilawat properly regularly at home, this negative effects are going to have a terrible effect on us. We have to neutralize it, and we have to have it by having ta'aleem at home, having majlis, reading kitab, making our zikr, our tilawat. Otherwise, what will happen to us? Or be nazir tariq bata'i hai. Islam has shown such great ways how we can safeguard ourselves from the evil effects of urine and stool. May Allah make it that we can understand this, that we don't take it just as a small thing and we don't worry about our paki na paki. This is for men, and then for women even more. In their monthlies, they have to be even more particular, that you know, odor should come, that they should keep themselves clean, keep their surroundings clean, the beds, the everything, because that also is napaki. So it's very important that this be taught properly to the woman also. And also, when we don't safeguard ourselves of this, there is no doubt that jadu, people who make jadu, they have easily access and control over such people who don't watch their paki. People who stay napak, who don't bath, our hair, our nails, and we have this napaki on us, because they use this filth and dirt to make their jadu. Then it has an effect. If a person stays pure and clean, is regular with his namazes, tilawat, this jadu will never have an effect on him, inshallah. It won't be able to have an effect. So we should try and see that we safeguard ourselves from these things and take great care in it. In this kitab of Hazrat Kashkol-e Marifat, the dish of the marifat of Allah Ta'ala, here Hazrat is discussing the beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala, and by that we can understand and get an idea of who our beloved Allah is. Two names of Allah Ta'ala, Ar-Rahman or Ar-Rahim. This came previously also. Hazrat is discussing it here together with all the other names also. What is the difference? Usually we say most merciful, most kind, and we use the English words for Rahman or for Rahim. But what is the real meaning of Rahman and Rahim? And what is the difference? The very close. It is what we will call in English a discussion on semantics. That the two words almost are the same, but there is a slight difference, a shade of difference in the meaning of the two words. Ar-Rahman, Haq Ta'ala ke saath ke saath khas hai. The word Ar-Rahman, Rahman can be only used for Allah. Therefore, if somebody's name is Abdul Rahman, we should not just call him Rahman. Because Rahman is only Allah Ta'ala. Nobody else is Rahman. Or Rahim ka makhluk par bhi istemal jaiz hai. Rahim can be used for other people as well. Jaise Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ko Rauf aur Rahim farmaya gaya hai. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself has been called Ar-Rauf Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman ki rahmat, the mercy which is in Rahman. Rahman means most merciful. Rahim also means most merciful, most kind, most compassionate. But the mercy which is in the meaning of the word Ar-Rahman, kabhi alam aur takleef ke saath bhi shamil ho jati hai. That mercy is sometimes with some pain and difficulty as well. Jaise dawai talkh peena. Like a person has to drink some bitter medicine. That medicine is good for him. It's going to clean his stomach. It's going to clean his blood. But it's bitter. He doesn't like to drink it. So there is mercy in that medicine, or like an operation for which you are going to be cut up, for which you are going to pay a huge amount. But hopefully it is going to be good for you. So it is mercy, but it is mixed with some difficulty and hardship and distaste as well. Rahmatul Rahman, aydan. قَدْ تَمَزَّجُوا بِالْأَلَمْ The mercy which is in Rahman sometimes is mixed with pain as well. كَشُرْبِ الدَّوَائِ الْكَرِحَ الطَّعَمِ وَالرَّائِحَ Like drinking a medicine which is bitter and which hasn't got a good smell. But the medicine is going to help you. فَإِنَّهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ رَحْمَةٌ بِالْمَرِيضِ This is mercy with the sick person. لَكِنْ فِيهِ مَا لَا ma la yula'imu tab'ahu. But in there is that which his tabiat doesn't like, that medicine which is bitter, etc. Wa rahmatur rahim, and the mercy which is in rahim, both are mercy, but the mercy which is in rahim, la yumazijuha shawbun, but there is no difficulty. It is just mercy, pure mercy. Fa hiya mahdun ni'ma, this is pure mercy. Like a person has to take a medicine, but it's very sweet also. You don't find any difficulty. It's mercy also, and there isn't any bitterness or anything. وَلَا تُوجَدْ إِلَّا عِنْدَ أَهْلِ السُّعَادَاتِ الْكَامِلَةِ And this mercy of Rahim is exclusive for the very pious. Only them, Allah blesses them with this mercy. It is for this reason that on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell ill. And the Sahaba gave Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some medicine that was bitter, which wasn't proper for them to have given. When Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of it, he made them all drink it. And he said, why you people gave me this medicine? Because for Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the pious, our Shaykh also, we have seen, any medicine also which is bitter, which is hard, he doesn't take it. And so the real pious people, Allah blesses them with that which is exclusive, goodness, outwardly and inwardly also. There is no difficulty, no harm, no hardship that befalls them. Allahumma ij'alna as-su'adat darain bi hurmati sayyidi thaqalain sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All this is in Ruhul Ma'ani. Oh Allah, make us also of those very pious people of both the worlds, that even in the qabr at the time of maut, no pain, no difficulty comes to a person. Otherwise, the sight of malakul maut, etc., Munkar Nakir. But for these pious people, they don't have one bit of these difficulties. Even in the qabr, it is just enjoyment on the day of Qiyamah. So that is that mercy which is in Rahim. And in Rahman, there is also mercy. Like you have committed guna, Allah wants to forgive you, which is mercy. But He makes you go through some difficulty by which your guna gets forgiven. So that is the mercy in Rahman. And when Allah forgives you without punishing you in any way whatsoever, in fact Allah gives you more ni'mats, that is the mercy in Rahim. So we should ask of that mercy which is in the Rahim, in the name of Rahim of Allah Ta'ala. Malik or Malik ka farak. One is Malik, and we should, Arabic is very necessary to pronounce properly. Both are almost the same. There is just a ya which is extra in Malik. So that must come out. Malik must not be read what is called majhul Malik. It must be read Malik. But the ye mustn't come in there. And where there is a ye, that ye must be made out. Malik and Malik. The difference must be clear. And that is really what constitutes good reading of Quran Sharif. That a person reads all these alphabets properly. Malik, sahibi, mulk. Malik, king. That means a person who has got a kingdom. Or Malik, sahibi, mamlakate, azima. And Malik means that a person who has got a great kingdom. And in Arabic there is a rule, the more the alphabets, the more it shows the meaning. So Malik has got less alphabets, one ye less. So therefore, the king of a country. And Malik, the king of a very huge country. Just by that one extra word, it has made this extra difference. Both these names are for Allah Ta'ala. Allah is Malik also, Allah is Malik also. Allah is Qadir also and Muqtadir also. Qadir, sahibi qudrat. That a being that has got power. Qadir. And Muqtadir, more words in there. Qadir, Muqtadir. Sahibi qudrat azima. That being who has got a great, great power, who has got great power, that is Muqtadir. So Allah is Qadir also, Allah is Muqtadir also. Allah is As-Samad also. What is the meaning of As-Samad? Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ne is naam mubarak ki ye maana bataye. Hazrat Abu Huraira, and this we should enjoy more. A sahabi has given the meaning. Where it is the name of Allah, that we should enjoy. And a sahaba has given the meaning, we should enjoy this even more. And this enjoyment is only for Ahle Muhabbat. They have this enjoyment and makes what a difference in their lives. A person who is married and he's got love for his wife, ask him what is that marriage. And a person who is living and that marriage is, there are a lot of problems in that marriage. And they're just staying together for the sake of the children because family people are pressurizing them to stay together. What is that marriage? And where you enjoy one another, what to say about that marriage? So muhabbat is a very, very great thing. And a person who has got muhabbat, see his namaz, and a person who is doing namaz as a duty, which is also a great thing. But he hasn't got love for namaz. But he realizes it's my faraz, I have to make namaz. He's getting reward. And he might be getting even more reward, but no enjoyment in that namaz. Why more reward? Because no enjoyment and he's still doing it. But therefore, he will perhaps get more reward. But our deen, our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum says, it's not like the Hindu's deen. That is everything on calculation, on arithmetic, that you calculate how much sawab. Yeah, don't look at sawab, look at quality, don't look at quantity. Allah doesn't look at quantity also. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah wants to see the quality of your amal. Allah doesn't want to see أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. Who does lot of amal? That Allah is not interested in. Who is making so much namaz, so much tilawat? Allah is looking at the quality of the amal. Hazrat Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah Ali says, a person's position in Jannah will be according to his amal in dunya, not according to his ahwal in dunya. That is, a person was living comfortably here, he was having lot of respect here, according to that won't be his position in Jannah. What is amal wa? According to his amal, he might have been a very poor person, a very sick person, but his amal were correct. And he had quality in his amal. According to that will be his position in Jannah. So Jannah, the position of a person, won't be according to our ahwal of dunya, it will be according to our amal. And in amal, again, not quantity, but quality in those amal. And that is what has to be taken from a sheikh. And that is what has to be taken from khanqa. Not here, not for reformation. In the khanqas of before, a person had to be reformed when he came to the khanqa. Here was to get now nisbat ma'allah. Those were the things. Here, you don't become an alim in a khanqa. That you must go to a darul ulum. And to make one's islah, and that for that, the outward islah, that your knowledge should be sufficient. Hazrat Maulana Anzar Shah Sahib, rahmatullah damat barakatum, says, he met a very great buzurg in Lahore, I'm forgetting his name. So he told him that make dua that Allah gives me, that I can make my namazes. Every namaz, I look forward to it with shock, with desire, that I must make my namaz, and I make my namaz with desire and with shock. So he says, for that, ilm was enough. That is not to go by buzurgs for that. that your ilm was enough to bring you to that stage. For buzurgs, it's something further. So, but today, of course, is plastic zamana. So everything is done here. Today in universities, they're giving very basic education also. All that is also necessary. So, but similarly, for this also, everything is done also in the khanqah. The islah also, even ilm a person acquires here, this islah also. But the real thing is, this ta'alluq, that love of Allah Ta'ala. That is the main thing. To find that the love of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So the meaning of as-samad. Al-mustaghni min kulli ahad, wal-muhtaj ilayhi kullu ahad. Al-mustaghni min kulli ahad. Samad is he, Allah Ta'ala, who is the only as-samad. That Allah is the one completely independent of any and everything. Allah doesn't need anyone in the least, but not any farishta, not any nabi, not anything. Allah is not in need of our a'mal, of our efforts, of anything of ours. Allah is not in need. Wal muhtaj ilayhi kullu ahad. And everyone is fully, fully dependent on Allah Ta'ala. Whether he knows it or he doesn't know it. Whether he realizes it or he doesn't realize it. In his stupidity and folly, he might think, I've got money, I've got contacts, I've got this, I've got that. Eh? Like that famous story of that person going to buy a horse. So his friend met him, asked him, where are you going? I'm going to buy a horse. Say, inshallah. Say, what is the need of inshallah? Horse are there in the market, money is in my pocket, what inshallah do I need? That if Allah wishes. When he went there, he chose a horse, when he was about to pay, put his hand in his pocket, he found somebody had cut his pocket. And his money was all gone. So he was returning without the horse. The friend met him again. How are you? What happened? Where's the horse? Say, inshallah, I was going. Inshallah, there was the horse in the market. Inshallah, there was money in my pocket. So realize from the start that only if Allah wishes. And really the language, like we see our children, how sad now at this time of the year, this, whether it's the heat, whether it's the festive season, whatever it is, good children, you can't make out if they are Muslim. Eh? The dread, the t-shirt, the trouser, Bermuda, whatever. No topi, no sign of a Muslim. So in our dressing, our Islam must be made. The topi at least must be there, something. You are feeling very hot, you took out your kurta, you got your vest on, you got your t-shirt on. But some sign that you're a Muslim must be there. If it's a grown-up person, his beard, whatever it is. And then our language also must show that we are Muslims. A Muslim's language must show all the time. Salam must be so common. Inshallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Our Musa bin Budania, marhum, who was in Rudiput, he had a lot of contact in the old government with the government officials for his work, etc. So I heard him many times talking with these white people also, that inshallah this and mashallah this and subhanallah this. It was all the time on the tongue. That is how it should be. That we shouldn't be even feeling. In fact, if we speak to a non-Muslim, he'll get now wondering, what's this person talking? And if he asks, what is this you're saying? Now is opportunity to give him da'wat. To show that only if Allah wishes. That so, mashallah, this happened. Allah's praising Allah Ta'ala. So a Muslim, his language also must show that he's a Muslim. It must be natural on his tongue. And if he has to keep it away, it must be a mujahada, a hard thing. But today, our children just come in the house, no salam. They just demanding this food, they want that. There is no salam, there is no inshallah in our talk, nothing of this. There is a sad case. How are you? I'm fine. Eh? What fine? So, alhamdulillah, I'm well. Praise Allah Ta'ala. If Allah is to take one bit of our health away, just a small little bit, one small pain in the finger, in the toe, in the ear, in the nose, anywhere, then we realize what it is. Just little bit we feel in our eyes, they say, and the sole controller who is controlling it every second is only Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala causes any deficiency, the smallest bit in our brain, in our spine, in any small part of our body, immediately we realize, and how much will it cost us, and what difficulties will we have to go through. So let us think of Allah, and use Allah's name, and praise Allah, and be fully dependent. That is truly who a Muslim is. In fact, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, the word coincidence, it should never be in the language of a Muslim. Because he should realize nothing happens by coincidence. That I went this and just coincidentally he also came there. Nothing happens coincidentally. That just at that time it rained also. No, it is all fully by the full command and will of Allah Ta'ala. And also if we can realize, we should also take out the words like, today the weather is very miserable. One Buzurg when he said that today it's raining and what a, the ideal time it's raining now. He was a true Buzurg, but he was a little bit, he didn't have that proper understanding. Father Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali writes that one Buzurg gave this nasihat that don't mix with rich people unnecessarily and only to the extent that what it is rich. Don't be in the company of a Sufi who doesn't know Sharia, who is a Jahil Sufi. Don't stay in his company. Don't stay in the company of a Alim who is not a Sufi. He has got ilm, but he hasn't got ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. Don't stay in his company also. And don't stay in the company of scientists and mathematicians also. In other words, dunya's people. They only think of dunya. So therefore, don't stay in their company. So what was I wanting to say? It rained on an ideal occasion. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, he was a Sufi, but he didn't have ilm. He didn't have knowledge. He was Sufi, he was. So Allah reprimanded him. Do we ever send our rain on an occasion which is not fitting? Allah, no matter how it appears, even if it rains continuously, Allah knows better. Allah's system and Allah knows all his work. So we should never say very miserable weather. In other words, it comes in the Hadith Sharif that don't swear the wind. Sometimes with this terrible wind here. What it has done. Who is sending that wind? Allah Ta'ala. So in fact you are swearing, na'uzu billah, Allah Ta'ala. That weather, we saying it's miserable. It's not miserable. It's cold today. It's hot today. MashaAllah it's hot. MashaAllah it's cold. Allah knows. Just see in the battle of Badr, Allah Ta'ala made this. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says clearly in the Quran Sharif that this battle Allah brought it about without the Muslims wishing and without them thinking of the battle. They only went out for the caravan of Abu Sufyan over his merchandise to go and capture it because they were passing through the Muslim land and to break the economic power of the Kufar of Makkah. Abu Jahl who came to help Abu Sufyan, he didn't come for war. He came also to just for security, to protect that caravan. But Allah made it on the one side that the Muslims gathered at Badr. On the other side, the Kuffar and the caravan slipped out from in between. For what they all had come out, the Muslims came out for the caravan, the Kuffar of Makkah came to protect. The caravan went out and yeah, Allah made them fight with one another. And why did Allah Ta'ala لِيُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ That Allah wanted to establish the truth for once and for all till the day of Qiyamah. That yeah, the Muslims were so few, Kuffar was so strong, but Allah wanted to show what who is Allah's help. So that يَحْيَى عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ لِيَحْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ He who gets destroyed now, who doesn't accept Islam, also after the proper proof came in the world, he gets destroyed. Not that he didn't know, he had doubt. Allah brought the battle of Badr, that the whole world must see the truth. And the person who follows the truth, not just because it's my parents' religion, I'm a born Muslim, but that he also sees clearly the truth. So, لِيَحْلِكَ مَنْ حَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ The person who's on the truth is also on proof that he's on the truth. Person who doesn't accept the truth after the proof came to him, he's not accepting the. So his Jahannam is quite clear. There is no doubt in his Jahannam. In his full knowledge, he's going to Jahannam. He knows it for himself, he's doing that. So Allah made this very clear. So this is Allah Ta'ala's system. Allah Ta'ala works in those ways. So we should have this full conviction and trust on Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us this proper understanding of deen and follow the deen as Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has set it out for us, inshallah. in this kitab of Hazrat, Ruh ki mimari aur inka ilaj, khatakar bande tauba ki barkat se khairul khatain ke laqab se nawaze gaye. That a person who commits guna, it's bad, it's evil, guna is so filthy, more filthier, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi writes, in stool and urine. We have just read and understood how filthy urine and stool is. Guna is even more filthier. But by the barakat of tawbah, that which was so filthy and so dirty, become khair. They become the best now. And that Allah Ta'ala brings those people who are on the level of those who are muttaqeen. Allah brings the poor people who make tawbah the same like the muttaqeen. Like those who haven't committed any guna. At-ta'ibu min az-zamb kama la zamba la. A person who makes tawbah is like a person who never even committed that guna. So Allah, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has blessed the sinners. And khatta'een is not is the superlative. Person who makes lot of gunas, he becomes the best by the barakat of. So what is the value of tawbah? What a chemical is this that has changed the most bitter, sour poison into the most beneficial thing for the body. Most sweet, most enjoyable. Tawbah has done that. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam farmate, kullu bani adam khatta'un. Wa khayrul khatta'in at-tawwabun. Har bani adam bahut khatakar hai. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every son of Adam, every human being is a sinner. Aur behtareen khatakar bahut tawbah karne wala hai. And the best of all the sinners, not because of his sin, but because of his tawbah, is the one who makes tawbah. And tawbah in abundance. Very, very blessed is that person who gets the tawbah, tawfiq all the time. Ya tawbah, ya Allah. Tawbah, ya astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, I'm the worst. When a person thinks, I'm the worst, I'm not fit to live, I'm not fit to make namaz, I'm not fit at all, he is very loved by Allah. And the minute he thinks, I'm good, that I've done this, I've achieved this, he goes right down from the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Is hadith ke hasb zail fawaid hai, jo mirqat se liye ja rahe. In this hadith, one small hadith, but so much benefits which are written in the kitab Mirqat of Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah. The first point, har banda kathirul khata hai. That every servant of Allah is kathirul khata. He commits a lot of sins. And normally we only term ourselves sinners when we have done outward goodness. For example, we haven't made namaz, we say I'm a sinner, I've lied, I've made ghibat, etc. But the sin of the heart, we don't even think of it. Pride, jealousy, hatred, malice, filth and dirt for other people. You know, somebody has got something, we hate that person for that. We think low, we come in the masjid, oh now look at him, he's making namaz. What topi he's wearing today. Look at him making so long namaz, but his trousers below his ankle. And he's making like his face is crying, but his beard is not in order. We look down upon, we are gone. That person, whatever, his position by Allah, Allah knows. But we have fallen down. And this happens all the time. Hajj Umrah, we see what type of Hajj is, what type of people there, and what thoughts come in our mind immediately. And this we don't even think of it as a guna. We might be thinking, I'm teaching in the class, my HIF students, my Maktab, my Alim class, Bukhari Sharif. And look at the students. When we were students, we did this, we did that. Look at the students. We have fallen. What that student's position by Allah, being a Shaykhul Hadith, we don't know how we have dropped from the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. That we are doing this, we are doing that. This holier than thou attitude. We don't even think of these as gunas. And we are so much in gunas. We are going in Gasht, for example. We pass by some people, we go and visit somebody, what music blaring there, the woman, how they dressed and that. And we start, I'm making kashf, my holidays, December holidays I've sacrificed. Look at these people, what they're doing. Their mamla is with Allah. We have fallen from the eyes of Allah. So this remedy, how essential. Otherwise we might think we might be in tahajjud, we might be in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif, we might be in Jamaat, we in the Khanqah, we in Ramzan, we in tahajjud. But we have fallen from the eyes of Allah. So every banda is a big sinner. And we don't even realize where the sins and how shaitan directs his arrows to us. Khata, bama'na khata. Bama'na kathirul khata. Khata, that means a person, the superlative, a person who makes lot of guna. or tawwabun bi ma'na rajja'un. And tawwabun, those who make a lot of tawbah, those who return, who reverse. You went in the wrong road, reverse again now. And the quicker you reverse, the better. And the faster you reverse, the better, but carefully. But reverse now. Come out of the wrong road that you have been going to. Allah ki taraf bahut rujoo hone wale. That is khatta'in, tawwabun. Aur us rujoo ke teen anwa hai. And this reversing, the wrong that we have done and now we are reversing, there are three types of it. The first, at-tawbatu min al-ma'asiyya ila ta'ah. That a person reverses, he comes out of sin into the obedience of Allah. This is for the awam. Ye awam ki tawbah hai. Guna tarke ta'at ke taraf rujoo kar le. They give up their sinful lives, not making namaz or all other wrong things. They come out of that. They become obedient to Allah Ta'ala. But yeah, it doesn't end. Normally we end there. Now we are making my namaz, I'm keeping my roza, I'm all right. No, there is further stage. Al-inabatu min al-ghaflati ila dhikr. Ghaflat tark karke zikr-e-haq mein mashghool hona. Ye mutawassit salik ka haal hai. That a person who is in ghaflat, he's not thinking of Allah. He comes out of that ghaflat and he starts thinking, starts making zikr. Now he's making not only his faraz and that, but now he's making tilawat also, tasbihat also, zikr also, wazifas also he's reading. That is the second level. So many of, few of us reach there. And we start now doing our ma'amulats regularly also. The third, bil awbati min al ghaybati ila al hudur. That is,